could push it, move this up a little. Okay. Thank you so much. Can you hear me over there? That's a miracle, because I'm told I have a very low voice. It's such a pleasure and zechus for me to be here with you. My first time here in Philadelphia, and it's beautiful. Like, who knew? I just didn't know. It's like so many warm, amazing people, and I'm pulling up. It's just beautiful, and you're very lucky. It's also a big zechus for me to be here with you at this time of the year. I know that everyone has a lot to do. We have Rosh Hashanah behind us. We have Yom Kippur coming. We have Sukkot coming. We have a lot of things to do if we have family coming or if we're going. And right now, I'm sure a lot of you are thinking of, oh my gosh, I just remembered all the things I need to do when I get home. And here we are, because this is what Nashim Tzidkaniyos is all about. And I'm here only because I believe in the Nashim Tzidkaniyos of Am Yisrael, and it really is a zechus for me to be here with you. Yom Kippur in the Torah is really always called Yom HaKippurim, in Lashon Rabim, in plural, never singular. And my dear mother, Rebbetzin Esther Young Grace, taught that it is because we have Yom HaDin here in this world, but it's in plural because there's also Yom HaDin in Olam Haba in the next world. So before I begin, I would like to say Gemar Chasima Tova to my own mother. And the words that you will hear tonight are a reflection of the shiur that my mother always gave between Musaf and Mincha on Sefer Yonah based on the Vilna Gaon. And it should be a zechus for Harabbaness Esther Bas Harav Avram Halevi. She should be Melitza Yosher for us, for Klal Yisrael, for my mishpacha. And we should see the Geula. We all need it so much. If we would ask for a spiritual ways, we're coming now to Yom Kippur. Chosmeinu b'sefer chayim tovim. Hashem, please. And there's so much in our hearts. So if we would type in our destination, what street would come up? What highway would come up? I believe one of the major roads that we would take is Sefer Yonah. And when the sun starts to come down and the day is coming to an end and we know that we're hitting Ne'ilah and the gates are going to be locked soon, Hashem gives us the gift of Yonah. I don't know if we even realize what that gift is. So tonight I want us to understand a little bit so that when we can reflect, when we leave here tonight, when we are in shul and we come to Sefer Yonah, take a few moments and think about our time here tonight. Vayihi devar Hashem el Yonah ben Amitai lemar. We know the story. Hashem spoke to Yonah ben Amitai, saying, and I'll just give you the words quickly because there's nothing like Lashon Kodesh. Hashem said to Yonah, I need you to go to Nineveh, your Navi, speak to them, get them to do teshuva, even though they're not Jewish, get them to do teshuva. Yonah was afraid. If they do teshuva, what happens to Am Yisrael? What happens to the Jewish people who didn't? So, you know what he did? He went to Yafo. And he decided that he's going to buy a ticket and he's going to go on a boat in Yafo. And he ends up buying a ticket for a place called Tarshish. Vayered Yafo, he went to Yafo, Vayimtza Onia, and he found a boat, but Tarshish. And this boat was going to Tarshish. He gets on the boat, all of a sudden there's this storm, Ruach Gedol, a huge, huge storm that's surrounding the boat. Vayisar Gedol, it was a terrible storm, and the boat is going this way and that way. It's like if you were in a bathtub with a little toy boat, and it's just being tossed and turned, and nobody knows what to do. And this boat is about to be just broken up into pieces. Everybody is just in panic. What are we going to do? Vayitzlu etz hakelim asher ba'onia al hayom. So now they start throwing things. Whatever you see on the boat, we're going to throw. They had all kinds of things. They had luggage, they had chairs, they had tables, they had avod zara. Whatever it is that they could throw, they're starting to throw overboard. And the storm does not stop. And they're in panic. Nobody knows what they're going to do. And where's Yonah? V'Yonah yarad el yarkisei ha-sifina v'yishka v'yardeim. And while they're throwing all these dishes and pieces and glasses and chairs overboard, Yonah goes down, down the deck, and he goes, like many men do, to sleep. I didn't plan on saying this, but when we had the huge Hurricane Sandy in my community, I was like so panicked, and my kids, and we're taping, and my husband said, I think everyone should just go to sleep. So it reminds me of this. Vayikrave lav rav hachovel, and the captain comes, and he's like, are you kidding me? Do you know what's going on upstairs? Are you kidding me? Vayomilo, and he says to him, malacha nirdam, how could you be sleeping now? Do you know what's going on? You're like, you're on the Titanic and you're going to sleep? What, are you joking? Come, get up. Go call your God. Everybody's making all these prayers. Get up. Go call your God. Nothing is helping. So then they have another plan. Lechu, let's go. V'napila gorolot. Let's now make a lottery. And let's see whose fault is this storm. Because this storm is only around this boat. It's crazy. It was supposed to be clear weather. Let's make a lottery. And they make a lottery. Vayipol hagorol al Yonah. And the girl goes on Yonah over and over. Yonah, Yonah, Yonah. So they look at him and they say, Hagidana lanu, tell us. Ma malachtecha, what's your work? What's your job? Umeayin tavo. And where did you come from? Ma artzecha, what land? Ve'emi zeh amatan, what nation are you from? Vayomer leim, and he says, Ivri anochi, I am a Jew. V'yes Hashem Elokei Hashemayim ani yarei. And I fear God. I fear God, I'm a Jew. Vayiru ha'anashim yira gedola, and these men got very, very afraid. Vayomru alav, and they said to him, Ma zos asisa, what did you do? You must have done something really bad. What did you do that this terrible storm is not letting up? What happened? Because they knew ki lifnei Hashem hu borech ki higid lahem. Because they knew he was running away from God. He was running away from Hashem. He said it to them. And they said, what are we going to do? Vayomru, mana said, what should we do? What should we do with you? And he said, there's nothing you can do except to throw me overboard. They were horrified. We can't. We're going to throw you overboard into the ocean to die? And they were so frightened. But they start to lower him a leg, and slowly the storm starts going lower and lower. And finally they see the only thing that we can do is to throw him overboard. And they throw him overboard. Vayiman Hashem dag gadol, and Hashem sent a huge, huge fish, livloa et Yonah, to swallow Yonah, vayehi Yonah bimei hadag, and Yonah was in the belly of the fish, shlosha yamim, for 3 days, ushlosha lailot, and for 3 nights. The story goes on, but we're going to stop here. The Vilna Gaon tells us that if we go into the depth of this story of Yonah, we are going to discover our story. My story, your story, the story of every single human being. We are going to discover 3 questions that if we are honest with ourselves, we can change our Yom Kippur, we can change our year, we can change our lives. And these are the 3 questions of Yonah. Who is Yonah? What does this story really mean? It's so beautiful. Listen carefully, my friends. Vayihi devar Hashem el Yonah ben Amitai. You know who Yonah is? Yonah is my neshama. Yonah is my soul. Yonah is your neshama. Yonah is your soul. Ben Amitai from the world of MS. Ben Amitai. The neshama is in Olam Haba. By Kisei HaKavod, everything is so beautiful. There's only emes. The neshama is studying Torah with the malachim. There's nothing bad. It's only kedusha. It's only holiness. It's only joy. It's only good. There's peace. And Hashem says to the neshama, it's time. It's time, little neshama. You have to go into the world. You have to leave this place. And you have to leave this world of emes. And you have to go into the next world. Into Olam Hazeh. You have to go into a world where there is pain, where there is suffering, where there is grief, where there is sheker, where there is dishonesty, where there are challenges. And you are going to have to grapple, and you are going to have to climb your mountain, and you are going to have to struggle. And the neshama is like a yonah. What's a yonah? A yonah is a dove. Did you ever hear a dove moan? The moaning of the dove is the moaning of the neshama, of the soul. Please, Hashem. Please, Hashem. I don't want to go. Please, Hashem. I don't want to have to grieve. I don't want to have to deal with loss. I don't want to have to deal with pain and suffering and challenges and sheker and dishonesty. I don't want to have the pain of trying to raise children and have the pain of shalom bayis and have the pain of children off the derech and have the pain of parnasa and have the pain of illness. There's so much pain in this world, Hashem. Please, let me stay here. Please, Hashem. That's the moaning of the dove. And Hashem says, little neshamala, it's time for you to go. You have a mission in this world. Go. You have a shlichas. The yonah, the dove, is the only bird that is always loyal to its first mate. The same way that a neshama is forever loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no neshama that we ever give up on. We never say it's too little. We never say it's too late. We never say it's too far. We never give up on ourselves. We never give up on the neshama of another. That is the yonah. So the yonah comes into this world. But instead of going to Nineveh, the neshama comes into this world and goes to the port of Yafo. What's Yafo? Anytime you have the lashon of yafeh, Yafo in the Torah, like eshes, yefas, toar, yafeh, beautiful, it's physical beauty. So the neshama comes into this world so filled with kedusha and holiness, but where does the neshama go? Into a body, into the aniyah, into the boat. The body is the boat of the neshama. And we get sidetracked, and we go to Yafo, and we say, you know what? I want to go to Tarshish. What's Tarshish? Tarshish is jewelry and diamonds and jewels and anything that takes us away and distracts us from that which is spiritual. It's the Amex card, it's the new kitchen, it's the vacation, it's the clothing, it's the bag, it's the whole picture. And it doesn't allow the neshama to breathe because it's pulling and pulling, and so there is a sa'ar. There is a perfect storm, and the boat feels as if it's going to break, because this is the storm and the battle between the guf, the body, and the neshama, and the soul. And it doesn't stop, and it doesn't stop, and it doesn't stop. So now we come to the three questions that we have to ask ourselves if we're honest. If we speak to our neshama, Erev Yom Kippur. And what are those questions? Number one, Malacha Nirdam, Yonah, Neshamala, how could you be sleeping at a time like this? Yom Kippur's coming. Question number one, do I go through my life sleeping? How do we say to sleep besides Nirdam in Lashon Kodesh? Because Lashon Kodesh comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it gives us so many secrets for life. How do you say to sleep? Yashan. What else does yashan mean? Old. What's the connection? Old is not a matter of years. Old is a matter of attitude. Do you know what it means to be old? It means I sleep through life. I'm afraid to grow. Tzameach, to grow, is related to the word. Rav Hirsch says, Tzameach, to be happy. Because when you grow in life, you're happy. So where do you put your time? Where do you put your energy? Do you sleep through life? I was just speaking to a mother the other day. She told me her son can play on a video game for 4 hours. That's called sleeping through life. You could be on a phone for how many hours, checking this and checking that and checking this. At the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of a month, at the end of the year, how many hours? For what? So many of us sleep through life, and we have to be honest. I received an email, and the father, husband in the email, asked me to share his words. He said, if you would see me, you would see great guy, great family, great kids, great house, great job, great wife. But let me tell you the truth. When I come home at the end of a long day, my kids have always said to me, Abba, Daddy, can you? And I will always say, I just need to take this call. I just need to do this email. And my wife would say, can you? And I would say, just a minute. I just walked in the door. And a few years have gone by, and I realize they've stopped asking. They've stopped asking. We sleep our lives away. One of the most painful emotions to have is regret. What did I do with all the time that I had? Why am I not speaking to this one, to this one? How is it that mothers and daughters and sisters-in-laws and friends are not speaking? What do we do with our time? 9/11 was the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We had a window into the most intimate conversations that one could ever hear, witness. We're from the sky. From the sky, people called loved ones here on earth and said, honey, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I wish I could have. Fill in the blank. I wish I could have been here more with you. I wish we could have fought less. I'm so sorry for hurting you. Nobody said, oh, I wish I could have gone shopping more. I wish I could have gone on more vacations. I wish I could have bought more. No. I wish I could have been there more with you, for you, raised the children together. Mommy, I'm so sorry. I never got to say I love you. Malicha tirdam. How is it that we sleep through life? I had an incredible Zaidi. My Zaidi, my mother's father, survived Bergen-Belsen, along with Mama, my grandmother. We weren't a large family because so many had perished. But I had my two uncles, my cousins, and every Matzi Shabbos, we would get together, and this is my memory. Cousins running back and forth, and then my Zaidi with his beautiful white beard and his long black coat and his beautiful eyes. He would give a little clop, and we would all be quiet. And every Motzei Shabbos, my Zaidi would say, Baruch atah Hashem. Shehechayanu v'kiimanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh. Thank you, Hashem, for keeping me, for preserving me, for bringing me to this moment. And then my Zaidi would cry. And I remember being a teenager and looking at my Zaidi and thinking, why is my Zaidi crying? It's just a bunch of cousins getting together. What's there to cry about? But now that I am, Baruch Hashem, a mommy and a bubby myself, Oh, how I understand my Zaidi's tears. How I wish I could hold on to time. How I wish I could hold on to memories. Would I ever have imagined? Would I ever have imagined that I would walk my sons, my daughters, down the chuppah, and my father's place would be empty? My mother's place would be empty. What I would not give for one more hug, for one more kiss, for one more bracha before Yantiv, one more dance at a wedding, one more hug, one more word, one more I love you. Malachat Nirdam, how is it that we sleep through life? That's the first question that Sefer Yonah is telling us to ask ourselves before we come into Yom Kippur. And then we come to the second question. After making the goral, they ask, Ma melachtecha? What is your work? Really, what is your work? You think they need to know what job Yonah has? Does that make any sense? What college did you go to? Where are your work papers? Definitely not. What does it mean, ma melachtecha? Ma melachtecha means, what is your melacha? What is your job? What is your mission in this world? Ma melachtecha, why were you put into this world? Think about it. If we would each hold up our hands, everybody here has different fingerprints. Hashem created billions of people in this world. No two people. How's it even possible? Billions of people. No two people have the same fingerprints. Why did Hashem do that? Because everything physical has something parallel in the spiritual world. And just like nobody has the same two physical fingerprints, nobody has the same two spiritual fingerprints. I have mine and you have yours and you have yours. And everybody is put into this world for a reason. And Hashem believes in us. And we're here to accomplish something that nobody else in this world can accomplish but me or you. Because those are my fingerprints. And Hashem believes in me. And you know how I know that? Because every morning I wake up. And that means that Hashem has given me life. And that means that Hashem says, I believe in you. Rabba emunasecha. Great is your belief in me, Hashem. Now, what am I going to do with my time here? Everybody has a different gift, and everybody has a different talent, and everybody has a different struggle, and everybody has a different challenge. Ma melachtecha. Why am I here? Why? You know when my greatest Yom Kippur was? It was a cold day in January. A cold day in January, when I found myself sitting in my father's room in Sloan Kettering. And the nurse came in and she said that she needs to do a little treatment. And I said, I'll go out. She said to me, it's okay, it'll just take a few moments. I'll put up a screen, sit behind the screen. It's nothing terrible. I sat behind the screen. And I hear a sound that I've never heard in my life. What is this sound? It's my father. And it's my father crying. I never heard my father cry out loud before. I hear the nurse say, Rabbi, this shouldn't hurt you. Is this hurting, Rabbi? My father says, no. And he's crying. So why are you crying? My father says, because I know that soon, very soon, I'm going to meet my maker. And I'm so frightened. I'm so frightened. Because I will have to answer for my life. I hear the nurse say, but you're a rabbi. And you're such a wonderful, nice rabbi. I've never met such a nice and gentle human being like you. Rabbi, you don't have to be afraid. But my father just cried and cried. I remember thinking to myself, if that's my Abba, that's my father, who lived through the Holocaust, who lost his entire mishpacha, started all over again. My Abba, who never screamed a day in his life and never lost his temper, I don't know how. I wonder sometimes. Then what can I say for my life? Ma malachtecha. What am I here for? What's my mission? What does it take to make a difference in this world? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. You don't have to do big, great things. Just a little bit. A little bit more chesed. A little bit more kindness. A little bit more patience. A little bit more empathy. A little bit more tehillim. A little bit more tefillah with kavana. A little bit more thinking of making a bracha before I eat. That's all it takes. Just a little bit. A little bit more of a smile. My daughter moved back from Israel this past year, and I took my 10-year-old granddaughter for the first time to the local main street in my neighborhood, and I said to her, Miriam, I'm going to introduce you to people. I'm going to take you to stores. This is, you know, you'll speak English. You'll introduce yourself. And as we're walking, she said to me, Bubby, are people in America allergic to smiles? Think about it. Just to give somebody the time of just a little smile means the world. You come into a chasana, you come into a wedding, you come into a bar mitzvah, you sit down at the table, you don't know too many people. What would it mean to just look at another person and smile and say, what's your name? Maybe you're out of town here, so you do that, but it means something. It means something. When I lecture or speak in high schools, I say to the girls, when you come home at the end of the day, and you had such a hard day, and I know some days were not so good, but you come in the door, and your mother's waiting for you. She was waiting for you. And that door opens. You have a choice. You can come in and you can throw down your backpack and throw down your jacket and you can say, ugh, supper's not ready yet, or, yeah, I don't like white chicken. or your mother says, how are you? And you can put a smile on your face and you could say, hi, mommy. Good. Baruch Hashem. And then you ask about supper. But how you enter to the person who's there means the world. Ma malachtecha. It doesn't take big things. Everybody has a mission and a purpose in this world. And I have to ask myself, what have I been doing to make this world into a better place because I am here? And there's no one who can say, I don't have what to do. At the end of one of the classes that I give, a woman came over to me and she asked me if I can say a tefillah, a prayer for her son, Mordechai ben Yael. She explained to me that he is autistic. It's very difficult for him to even say a word. He grunts. And she asked me if I can daven. And then she took out her phone and she said, I want to show you something. This little boy doesn't speak. He doesn't talk. He has a board with which he can communicate. But it's an amazing thing. Look at this. And she turns her phone on. And she has a smile as if you think she had not a care in the world, this mother. And she says, Mordechai, when is Shabbat? And he tries so hard, but he picks up his fingers And she tells me that every single day, he counts the days till Shabbos. 5, 4, 3, 2. It's an amazing thing. And he'll never get it wrong. And he has inspired his entire family to count the days till Shabbos. Hayom Yom Rishon. Hayom Yom Sheni L'Shabbos. This little boy, this became his mission in life. Mama Lachtacha. We each have to ask ourselves, what is my mission? That's question number two. When Avram Avinu was told, Lech Lecha, that he should go on his journey, he was also told that a great nation would come from him, like the stars in the heavens, and like the sand on the shore. V'heye bracha. And what does that mean, v'heye bracha? Rav Hirsch says something beautiful. It doesn't say v'tihye bracha. That eventually, and one day, you will become a blessing in this world. Tihya, yehe, be a blessing. That's your mission. Not that I, Hashem, am going to make you into a bracha. You are going to make yourself into a bracha. Wherever you go in life, mamalachtecha, yehe bracha, be a bracha. It's how you open the door. It's how you answer the phone. It's how you get into a car. It's how we go into a supermarket. It's how we carry ourselves, how we walk, how we talk, how we have patience for the people that we live with. Because sometimes it's so easy to have patience with everyone else in the world. And then in our very own homes with the people that we are supposed to love the most, we say, what? Mama lachtecha. Beheye bracha. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. That's question number two. And now we come to question number three. Me'ayin tavo ma'artzecha ve'emize amata. Where are you coming from? What is your land? What is your nation? Really, where am I coming from? Because if I don't know where I'm coming from, then I don't know where I'm going in life. Shoresh, roots, to know who we are, to know where we've come from. It's so difficult today when it comes to raising children. The difficulty is that many of our children know more than us because they get the technology. So we will go to children, we'll say, I have to tell you something. I asked my 6-year-old granddaughter to teach me something on my phone, okay? How can that be? And she knew. It's the reverse. The truth is, where do I come from? What is my shoresh? Where is my greatness coming from? Because that tells me who I am. I am part of Am Yisrael. And there's nothing as great as that. Yisrael, Yud, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Sin, Sarah, Reish, Rivka, Rachel, Aleph, Avraham, Lamed, Leah, Am Yisrael. It's in our blood. It's our spiritual DNA. It's our roots. It's who we come from. And that's why it's so important to give a bracha. Yisimich Elokim, Kisara, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, that we know that spiritual DNA is inside of us. It gives us koach. It empowers us. Because every struggle that the Imahos went through is our struggle until today. And if you ever question, can I do it? Of course you can do it. Of course we can do it. Because they made a derech for us. Where do I come from? I come from avos. I come from imahos. I come from greatness. And if I ever fall, sheva yipol tzaddik. 7 times a tzaddik falls. It doesn't mean that you're a tzaddik if you never fall. That you never make a mistake. But you take every mistake that you make and you grow from it and you get up and you build muscle from it. So you take an Avera and you say, you know what? Avera? Lashon Avar, this was in the past. I'm moving on. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to change from it. That's what an Aveira is when it comes to Yom Kippur. We don't sit in our Aveiros. We sing. Ashamnu, right? We sing. Why are we singing? Because we're so hopeful and we're so optimistic. It's a new Shana from Shinui. It's new. It's a change. I am not that person anymore. Hashem, Hashem. Why do we say Hashem, Hashem? Hashem, you loved me before the Chet, before the Aveira. Love me now after Aveira. It's just in the past. That's not who I was. That's not who I am. I'm a different person. That's what tshuva is all about. You have a nega. You have something that's bringing you down. Turn it around, and what do you have? Oneg. Something beautiful and pleasure. Anything in life can be turned around. That's what tshuva is all about. Where do I come from? I'll tell you where I come from. I come from avos and imahos. I come from Am Yisrael that made many mistakes, but we're still standing, and Hashem still loves us. How do I know? Because we're here. We've gone through torture, persecution, crusades, inquisition, pogroms, holocaust, bombings, and we're still here, and we're still standing. Mayayin, from where did I come? Ask yourself, and this Rav Hirsch says too, 1 year has passed from when we said, Hashem hu ha'elokim, Hashem hu ha'elokim, when we say goodbye at Ne'ila to the Shechina that was so here in this world that you can feel it. And with each Hashem hu elokim, the Shechina goes a little bit higher up to Shemayim, and it's painful to say goodbye, because if you really feel Yom Kippur, if you really feel it, you feel the Kedusha of the day and you don't want it to go away. And then we come to Sukkot. What happened to all the Yamim Tovim that we went through? Did you feel the hug of the Sukkah? The shelter of the Sukkah? Did you feel that this is my place? Everything that's in the house doesn't matter. Everything that matters to me is right here, right now. And I have to remember that. Hanukkah, in the darkest of the nights, we light our menorah. We say Al Hanisim. Do I really believe that in the darkest of nights, that light is going to come? That's when I have to light the menorah, not in the day. In the darkest of winter, that's my emunah. It's Purim, the simcha of Purim. Did I hold on to that simcha? Because I need it. I need it to take me to Pesach. And when I come to Pesach and there's chelus, this freedom, am I free of all those things that are just bogging me down? Am I the same person that I was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Do I get angry at the same stuff? Do I lose my patience at the same stuff? Did I grow at all? Did I change at all? Did I free myself at all? Who am I? Every yontiv that goes by is opportunity for koach, for change, for growth. Where did I come from? Because then I can know where I'm going. And so when Yonah is asked these three questions, and he's thrown into the dug, into that huge, huge dug. What really is the dug, the belly of the fish? Do you know what the dug is? The dug is da'aga, worry. You know what's the worst? To live in the belly of the fish, with da'aga, with worry. It eats you up. You can't sleep. You can't breathe. It's crushing. The letters da'aga are the first letters of the Aleph Beis, but one letter is missing. Dalet, Aleph, Gimel, Hey. Which letter is missing? Beis, because Beis is bitachon. If you have bitachon, if you have emunah, if you have faith, you're going to say, Hashlech al Hashem Yehavcha. Hashem, I'm throwing you all my worries. V'hu yichal kalecha, and Hashem's going to support me. No daiga. This year, I'm not going to live in the belly of the fish. And if you're a worrier, like most women are, myself included, it's not easy. It's not easy. But we have to say we have that bitachon. We have that faith. We have that emuna. That's what it's all about. This is going to be the year of bitachon. No more living in daiga, in the belly of the fish. How many days was Yonah living in the belly of the fish? Three. Why three? Because these are the 3 days that come like an ari, like a lion roaring and asking us, wake up, Am Yisrael. It can't just be the same old, same old. We're in this gullus too long. There's too much machlokes, too much fighting. It's too much tsar, too much sickness. It's too much already. Too much lack of shalom bayis. So these days come like an ari, like a lion roaring. Why ari? Aleph, for the first day of Elul, when we blow shofar and the shofar says, wake up! Resh, Rosh Hashanah. Yud, the final day, Yom Kippur. That's where we're at. We're looking at the lion in the face now. This is it. These are the three questions that we have to reflect on. And then Yonah comes with the most beautiful tefillah. Listen carefully. Vayomer, and he says, Karasi mitzara li el Hashem. I called out of my tzara, out of my distress, out of my narrowness to Hashem. Vayaneni, and Hashem answered me. This is our tefillah. This is us. Mi beten sha'ol shivati. I asked for you, I hoped for you, I cried out to you, Hashem, from the belly of this terrible place of Sheol, of the lower world, Shemata Koli, and Hashem, you heard my voice. V'tashlichenu mitzula b'leiv av yamim v'nahar yisavavenu kol mishbarecha v'galecha alai avaru. I was thrown into the depths. And swirling around me were these waves. And I thought that I wouldn't make it, Hashem. I thought I wouldn't make it. But I made it. And Hashem answered me. And that's what Yom Kippur is all about. That it's never too late. And we never give up on ourselves. Because we ask ourselves these three questions. Malach HaNirdam? Am I sleeping? And if I'm sleeping, it's not too late to wake up. As long as there's life, there's hope. Ma malachtecha, what's my purpose? What am I here for? When I go to sleep at night, I have to ask myself, did I make a difference in the world today? Is this world better because I am here? Little things. And where did I come from? May I am Basa, where did you come from? What are your roots? What are your roots? So I'd like to conclude with this. What are your roots? It was 2 years ago, Pesach. And that was the final Pesach that we had the zechus, the great privilege, to have Pesach with my mother. We were in a hotel, and my mother was scheduled to speak throughout Yontif. And nobody really knew how ill my mother was, but she was very ill. And she was called up to speak towards the last days of Yontif. And already she did not have the kayach that she usually had. And I'll never forget the moment that my mother went up to speak. Very gingerly she went up the stairs. And she said, I'm going to tell you something now. And I want you to know that this is my story and this is my life. And I want you to tell it to your children and to your children's children. And I want you to hold on to this, all of you. And I'll share it with you. My mother described, and this was her famous story, her footstep story, how she described that the winds of war were blowing over Hungary. And her parents, my grandparents, decided that they would take one last trip, one last visit, to the Zeda and the Boba, her grandparents, my great-grandparents, who lived in Nadidvar, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, for whom I was named, the Boba Slavachana, and my great-grandfather, the Zayda Yisrael. It wasn't an easy trip. There was high snow. It was dangerous to travel as a Jew, by horse and carriage, by train, but they finally made it. And my mother remembers coming into her favorite place in the world, her Bubby and Zaidi's home. And somehow her Bubby made magic like all the Bubbies do when you make something from nothing, and there was food coming out of the oven and delicious smells in the house. But her favorite place in the whole world to go, her favorite place, was her Zaidi's Svarim room, her Zaidi's study, where her Zaidi would sit and he would hum and he would sing as he would study Gemara, and she would stay on his lap. And he, my Zaidi, would take a hot tea with sugar cubes. My mother would also suck some of the sugar cubes and just love to be in that room. You just felt enveloped by love and holiness and Kedusha. But that time, something was different. My mother remembers sitting on her Zaidi's lap, her Zaidi learning, but this time Zaidi was crying. Crying and crying, bitter tears. My mother grew frightened, and she ran out of the room, and she ran to her father, my Zaidi. My mother said, "Tati, why is Zaidi crying?" "Ay," my Zaidi said, "come, let's go for a walk, and I'll explain. Put on your coat." So my mother, a little girl, she put on her winter coat. My Zaidi took her hand. They went outside. And the snow was very deep. Zaidi said, "I'm going to walk in front of you, and you're going to walk behind me." After taking a few footsteps like this, my Zaidi turned to my mother and said, "Lichtekind, my precious light, do you know why I'm walking ahead of you like this?" "Yes, Tati," my mother said, "because the snow is very deep, and you want me to walk in your footsteps. You don't want me to fall." "Ay," Zaidi gave another ay. "Lichtekind, my precious light, I want you to remember this. The snow is very deep. The snow is coming, and it's going to be very, very deep. And you are going to fall. Many times you are going to fall. But you're going to get up because you have your Zayda's footsteps in front of you. And that's why your Zayda's crying. Because Zayda's not learning just for him. He's learning for you and your children and your children's children. Zayda is making footsteps because the snow is very deep." My mother concluded and said, "I fell many times. The snow was so deep, I didn't even know how deep the snow would be. But every time I fell, I picked myself up because I heard my Tati's words. Get up, keep walking, there are footsteps. Everyone sitting here has a Babi, a Zaidi, who cries for us, who davens for us, who watches over for us here and in Shemayim. Each of us have a Babi and Zaidi who made footsteps for us. And yes, the snow is sometimes really deep, and life is filled with challenges and struggles and mountains to climb. And sometimes we think, I can't do it anymore. Ribono shel Olam, I can't. But of course we can, because we have footsteps, and we have Bubbies, and we have Zaidis. May Ayin Basa, where did you come from? Never forget. Never forget." So my dear friends, I wish you, and all of us, and all Klal Yisrael, a Gemar Chasima Tova. Whoever needs Refuah Shalema, Hashem should send us Refuah Shalema quickly, quickly. Whoever needs shalom bayis, shalom in a home, shalom with kinderlach, with children, Hashem should allow us to enter the hearts of those that we love. Whoever needs parnasa, Hashem should give us the ability to be balei tzedakah with kayach and gedula and kedusha. Whoever needs a shidduch, Hashem should send the shidduch quickly, without tsar and pain. Who's ever waiting for a baby, Hashem should give us the zuchus to carry neshamas for Klal Yisrael, to build beautiful batei ne'emanim b'Yisrael. May we see the geula finally and quickly. Mashiach tzidkenu b'mheira v'yameinu amen. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Wolf. This was really such a tremendous privilege for us.